T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We go out now to the guest line and bring in our good friend Dave Hyde from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Dave, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing well. How's everybody doing?
Doing very well. And I wanted to ask you, because everyone knew that there was a really good chance the Dolphins would be really, really, really bad before the season even started. All this talk about tanking and everything. But has it been kind of a harsh reality to actually have to cover a team that's this bad? Was the expectation different from reality for you?
God, we've only covered three. And at the end of the third game, I was walking. I thought, I got no ideas to write. So we got 13 more to go. So look, I predicted 0-16. I didn't think it'd be this bad. I think I was an optimist, too, at the time, because losing by an average of 39 points, that's staggering to me.
How much of it, because the personnel we know is very far from being what you should see on a competitive NFL team. So how much do you nitpick the coaching? Like, do you feel like Flores and his staff are doing a good job considering, or are they big contributors to the problems?
Yeah, to me, when they went down this road, I said, I'm going to give Brian Flores wide latitude here because nobody's going to be able to win with this. The concerning thing to me is that it didn't turn into a three-ring clown show, and I still have that concern. I really didn't like that. You know, I get why people want to get out of here, but if I'm at the team and you got a talent of Minkah Fitzpatrick, one of your foundational players, 22 years old, I have a hard time. I just can't trade him just because he wants to get out. So how Brian Flores, you know, we're in week 4 now. How in week 9 and 10, how he keeps guys – let's just face it, veterans on the field, willing to sacrifice their bodies if things remain this uncompetitive, which, you know, look, they're going to have to be in some games because some of the opponents coming up. But if they keep losing just to keep guys out there, and we're not even talking anymore about building a culture. It's just surviving the season.
they're trying to survive through it, Dave. It's funny you talk about the coaching because one of my questions was, and honestly, Dave, this is what would upset me. In the New England and Dallas game, you're down 13-0 and 10-6 at half. You played strong on defense, at least. Offensively, you know, you hadn't put much points up, but you looked like you should be on the field with them. You come out in the second half and you get destroyed. At halftime, did they not coach him up? Is it fatigue? Is the defense on the field too long? Like, those second halves of the New England-Dallas game, that would have frustrated me as a defender on the Dolphins.
Yeah, and look, the New England game, I think 5 of the first 6 series on offense were 3 and outs. That tells you how much the defense was on the field. I think how could you maintain going against the New England offense and the Dallas offense when you're just being put out there time after time? I think it's exhaustion. You know, maybe it's beyond my football knowledge, really, to know adjustments and all that. But when I look at the roster they have and the, you know, I thought the first half, Dallas's offense was still looking at, wow, we've watched this team on film for 2 weeks and look how bad they are. We're going to try. In fact, Dak Prescott said after the game, I got greedy. You know, I'm going to throw the ball up there because I thought, you know, hey, I'd seen it work for 2 weeks. So, they played defensively well the first two half of those games, but I also think they just got exhausted by the second half.
And Dave, in Sun Sentinel, Dave interviewed me for his recent column.
This is my quid pro quo, a little quid pro quo. You interview me, I interview you.
Yes, sir. We you know what I'm saying? We're
media
members. I was
wondering how we got a big time score like Dave.
Yeah. We got to watch out for each other. But Sun Sentinel, it's Dave Hyde Sports at Dave Hyde Sports on Twitter. It's an article about the difference between 07 to 2019. He interviewed Mandy Mueller, who was the GM at the time, Jason Taylor, and myself. And as you did that research, going there, you have to read it. I read it. I had to read my own quotes, Dono. I'm like that. But yes, as you did your research, Dave, what is worse? Because you're trying not to win, and you lose three games in a row. You're probably going to lose a number more, 16, or trying to win and losing 15. Like, as you talk to me, JT, and Randy, like, which is worse for a team, not trying to win and lose, or trying to win and still losing?
In the moment, I think this is worse. In the moment, I remember when I interviewed Randy Mueller, I asked him a comparison. There was a pause, and he said that quote. I don't think they're comparable at all. And he went on about why not. And I said, Jason Taylor said the same thing, that you guys were in games. You were snake bit. You had some injuries started to pile up. And so in the moment, losing by 39 points, I mean, you had the quote that I loved where you said the halftime, if you were playing in that Baltimore opener at halftime, you might have been crying.
Yes.
Because they just whipped your butt. Every time they touched the ball, they scored. So in the moment, this is worse. This season's going to be worse. Now, you temper that by saying, okay, this is part of a bigger plan, if you're buying into the plan that they're going to come out of this with really controlling the first round of the draft next year, going after a franchise quarterback, and building a what they hope to be a sustained winner. So, but look, I take pity on the veteran players on the Dolphins right now. So there's some of the younger ones, guys just happy to be in the league. They picked up off the waiver wire, happy to have a job. That's different. But for a guy like Xavien Howard, who's an elite cornerback, or Bobby McCain, a great veteran, I take pity on those guys having to go through this.
You know, five first round picks in the next 2 years, but should Dolphin fans be all in on trusting Chris Greer to be the one to make all those correct picks and fix this?
Great question. Look, he's got to be better than he's been, right? I mean, that's the flat-out bottom line. Now, they backstopped the decisions. You look what they've done in the front office. Very smart. Reggie McKenzie's come in from Oakland, veteran personnel guy. Marvin Allen, a veteran guy, personnel guy from Buffalo and Kansas City, among other places. So they build up the front office. Knowing that, look, all their chips are in the next two drafts. And so that's smart. You look at the most recent drafts, yeah, they're open for question. Chris Greer's got to be better than he's been. That's the bottom line of here. And to me, what I've written and said is, if you have to tank, it's the last refuge of dumb franchises. You've said, we can't go out and find a franchise quarterback any other way. We didn't see Patrick Mahomes like Kansas City. We didn't see Carson Wentz like Philadelphia used our trade, our draft, that trade to trade up. You didn't think Lamar Jackson, you know, the verdict's a little out on him still, but you didn't see, you couldn't find guys that other teams have invested in or didn't trust them. So you have to tank to get a number one pick and get it. So yeah, there's questions for Chris Greer.
And Dave, I got people asking me now, with Rosen playing, which he did look better than Fitzpatrick in my opinion, a lot of people are coming up to me asking me about, hey, could he convince the Dolphins not to get a quarterback? Dave, I don't give a damn what Rosen does for the rest of the year. You go out and get the top quarterback that you've evaluated as your franchise changer and let him compete, whatever you want to do with Rosen. But is there anything Rosen could do that makes them not draft a quarterback in the first round very high, 1, 2, 3?
He would have to do something that I can't even imagine. Okay, I mean, he'd have to be so good you know, that I can't even imagine anybody, first of all, playing with this group.
Yeah.
You know, this, the line's awful. There's no number one or number two receiver out there, as much as people want to say how good the receivers are. So then you throw in the fact that, you know, the defense hadn't been great either. So you got to score points. So I agree with you. Josh Rosen, to me, did pretty much, given the circumstances, everything he could do in the first half, especially last week. But is there anything he could do, given the supporting cast around him, to prove that, he's the answer? I don't see it. I mean, maybe after week 16 we're wowed, but, I think there's questions still about Josh Rosen, how much the game really means to him.
We're joined by Dave Hyde from the South Florida Sun Sentinel here on the Hockman and Crowder Show. Dono in for Hockman today. You know, Dave, now, luckily for you, you're a columnist. You get to write about other teams, which is kind of good and bad, depending on which other teams those are. But you know this market very well. Do you kind of foresee Dade and Broward catching Florida Panthers fever? I mean, I was around for the Stanley Cup Finals run in 1996. I remember how fun that was. I'm not necessarily thinking the team this year gets that far, but do you think South Florida can start buying into hockey if Joel Quenneville can really put a special product out there?
As a fallback for every other franchise, well, the Heat, they're in a down cycle, but for them, the down cycle is a just missing the playoffs. Will people fall in love? Here's my view of what will happen this year. The Panthers will be a pretty good team. I mean, let's face it, if they're not a good team this year, they're never going to be a good team. They got a Hall of Fame coach now. They got the number one free agent goalie out there, one of the top goalies in the league. So to go along with what other is a, you know, it's not even a young nucleus anymore. It's in their prime nucleus, good players. So they'll have a good year, and people will go, why aren't people going to the games? Why aren't they going to the games? Then the playoffs will come, and I think people will get excited. And if they have success in the spring, I'm not meaning a Stanley Cup, but just, you know, make a little run, that'll carry into next year. And really what the Panthers need to do is have a sustained few years of winning to build their fan base up from, really, it's just the lowest common denominator of hockey fan left out there.
Dave, does the other teams really think about that? Do the Panthers have meetings and say, hey, the Dolphins ain't nothing right now, man. The Heat don't have no stars, man. Let's do something. Let's bring in Bobrovsky. Let's shake it up.
I don't think they think, strategically think, oh, we need to go out and get somebody, and because the stage is empty and we could occupy, the center ring right now. But on the other hand, they think, God, if we would just start winning, people would actually start following us because nobody else is winning. And let's face it, as a columnist, I'm looking for a winner right now. All I'm writing about is four pro teams and the University of Miami football and that are struggling in various forms, but they're all struggling.
Well, and speaking of struggling football teams, I know that my Miami Hurricanes did take a W this past Saturday, but it didn't feel much like a win, Dave. And, you know, kind of before that Central Michigan game, I was thinking, man, this feels like a really bad time to have a bye week because they'll win this game easily, build some momentum, then you hit a bye week. Then after the game, I reflect on it. Wow, this is the perfect time to have a bye week before you hit that ACC Coastal meaty part of the schedule coming up. But, I mean, well, what did you make of that performance this past Saturday? And are the Hurricanes kind of even farther behind what we thought they were after those first couple of losses?
Look, after they went into the year, and everybody expect magically all their openings to be okay, all their problems from last year to be solved. And I was like, look, I love what Manny Diaz did in the offseason. He changed the narrative of the team and the new Miami and all that. But they still got all the problems they did that getting run off the field of 35-3 by Wisconsin and losing, what was it, 5 of their last 7. So, there's no magic wand to be waved here. And now struggling Central Michigan, that's beyond what they they should do. And then again, that loss to North Carolina is looking worse and worse when you see what North Carolina has done in the last couple weeks. So, the other thing is we made a big deal, including me, made a big deal of the transfer portal, how Miami is working it and they're really good and bringing in all this talent. You see what Lawrence Cager did for Georgia last week?
I mean, seriously. Wow. I guess nothing should surprise me at this point.
We forgot guys went the other way in the transfer portal, too.
Hey, Dave, if it gets bad, man, just go dive for some lobsters, bro. That's all we can do,
man.
Baby. It's lobster season.
Out on the water, right, Channing?
Yeah, man. I'm trying to set up a fishing trip or something, man, because these Dolphins are upsetting me.
I remember in 07, speaking of 07, Channing, when you guys were struggling, I did a column. I got to find something else to do. You know, if someone give me ideas, I'll do anything on a Sunday. Some besides go watch it. And this was by December. Someone wrote in, come and help me put up my Christmas lights. And I went out there instead of going to your guys' game when it was like, you're what, Owen, whatever. I went out to this guy's house and I helped him put up his Christmas lights. So I might have to dredge that up again on Sundays, but going lobstering sounds a lot better.
I'm telling you, that 07, you should have called me. I'd have left the game. I knew what the outcome was. I would have hit it.
How do you go lobstering? You like drop the trap into the water? Or you glove them? Like how do you do that?
Me and Dave, we are men.
Educate them a little. Educate them, Channing.
We swim down there to the big reef heads, and we poke them out. We get a little sticky. You tickle them out, and you put a net behind them. You poke them in the face. They shoot into the net. You swim back to the boat. You put them in the cooler, and you eat the hell out of them.
I would just drop the trap down there. They got claws.
Twist their heads off when you get back to the dock, and then you're all set.
Dave, I might go this weekend.
I didn't know Dave Hyde was a talented lobster man. You can follow him on Twitter at Dave Hyde Sports. Dave, thank you so much for the time.
All right, guys, see you.
It's Dave Hyde there from the South Florida Sun Sentinel.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.